Air Shop of Maniacs. You're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. I'm Dave in the shed. Rupert with me is Chris in the office choir. Hey, Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. Thanks, Dave. We have a guest on because we're going to end up probably talking about CMSs a bunch. Not that any of us are like super experts or anything, but we all use different CMSs, have various long histories with CMSs, and I just think it's fun to talk about, especially from a theoretical perspective of like, what if my CMS did this? Wouldn't that be nice? So on to talk about it, first-time guest, Matt Howie. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, really an honor, really. I've just been reading your stuff for forever, maybe, since I came online. You're like a kind of a old school web guy, maybe got us beat by a little bit. Sometimes I think we're old guard, but I wasn't building websites in 95 quite yet. And that was kind of your intro to it. And I think, but if people were around a while, you'd be forgiven for thinking of Matt as you're kind of like the Metafilter guy, right? Is that, do you still carry that?
Yeah, it was.
For a long time. And you built that sucker. So in a way you've hand built CMSs.
My worst accolade is like kind of helped invent weblog comments. Like that's not something to be proud of, but I don't know. I made some decisions and did the best I could, but.
Yeah. What does that mean? But do you mean just kind of commenting in general, or do you mean something specific?
Like, you know, I think there was only one blog that even had like comment capability in 1998. And it was like a small IT guy in the Bay Area I knew. And I saw that and I saw Slashdot and I was like, ugh, I didn't like the UI of Slashdot and it was too much. I had too many options. So I was like, how would I make this clean? Where should I put the names? Like, I don't want people to prejudge because on Slashdot, your name was at the top of your comment.
Oh.
And it'd be like, I don't want to hear Linux Guide 420 again. So I put them at the bottom so you'd accidentally read it and go, oh, hey, maybe he has a point sometimes. So yeah, a lot of things like that.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's something.
But then I human moderated them for like 15 years and that just ground me into a paste. And like, I was just done. I wish we had AI back then. That would have helped.
Right. Yeah, I'm not quite in the same boat, but a little bit. I also put, kind of hand moderation on, you know, the biggest blog I ran for a long time was called CSS Tricks. And you know, it was 2007 or so when I started it, so much later. But even then, blogging was pretty popping, you know, and comments were a big part of that. Somehow you could just expect commenting activity in a way that you definitely can't now.
Yeah, I think people are getting used to like typing things in their web browser and it doing stuff. Like that was kind of like 2005-ish, like when that sort of wave started. Yeah, it's so weird. You could have a little Blogspot blog and you're always going to have two or three comments on anything.
Yeah. And it was, in a way, it wasn't so different because it was engagement farming even then sometimes. At least it was for me that knowing that, and maybe you invented this, a lot of those comment forms have a URL field too. It was like, who are you? But also, where are you from?
Yeah, that was the hard part. Metafilter was all about sharing cool stuff you find on the web. So it's all about links. But then SEO jerks would show up and be like, oh, I mean, there are YouTube videos on like how to game Metafilter for your SEO purposes.
Whoa.
And then like we had to build all these backend tools for like, they were just SQL queries. Like, give me a list every morning of people who signed up in the last 24 hours and posted a comment and the comment contained HTTP. And
right.
Like that was just instant spammer list. Maybe like 1 in 10 would be a legit person.
Oh, wow.
So then we'd like ban them and like refund them and tell them to get the hell out. And like, yeah, that was like my morning routine for 15 years.
Refund? Was Metafilter paid even then? Or what?
Yeah,
or like,
yeah, like yeah. 2004 onwards, it was just a $5 one-time charge. The funny part is people thought that like floated the whole thing. And it's like, I mean, like 20 people a day on a good day would sign up. You know, the server fees alone were thousands of dollars a month. Yeah.
It was
still ad supported.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, interesting.
I like the model. I'm surprised at y'all's patience. I never ran anything nearly as significant, and I lasted about 8 minutes with open comments. It's just like, what are FIFA coins? I don't know. I just want to delete this.
I would have thought $5 would have totally stopped it. It does on CodePen today. We very rarely do we get loads of spam. It's like huge and all kinds of other bad stuff too that might be in other categories other than spam. But if it's paid, nothing. Like the pro level, it really knocks it out. Okay, cool. And so, speaking of commenting systems, I guess that can lead us potentially into CMS land a little bit more, because when people pick a CMS, I don't know that that'd be like even in the top five really, but it depends on what you're building. You might pick a CMS because it has one of those, because if it doesn't, then what the heck are you going to do? You know?
Yeah. Like, so I wrote a big piece on like, I guess I hadn't thought about blogging CMSs in like 10 or 15 years or something. You know, I just resigned myself to WordPress since 2010-ish or so. But like in the early days, I mean, the early days of blogging, like 98, 99, every single person had to make their own blog engine because there was literally nothing. And then Blogger comes out, and then Gray Matter comes out, and MovableType comes out, and B2 comes out, which turns into WordPress. Mm-hmm. Like, and then I felt like, but still up until about 2005-ish, that was the hammer and the nail. If I saw a problem in the world, you just need to build a new CMS and like you'd solve it. I think that's just how, like, I know spreadsheet people, you know, like people who send you recipes in a spreadsheet or like stuff that should be paragraphs of text always in, because they just think in spreadsheets. Like, yeah. I just think in, I mean, a CMS is just like a pile of spreadsheets, you know, it's just like a relational database that you can pivot on and grab stuff from. And that's just like how I like approached every project. So, you know, I mean, I like the commercial ones, and what I really want in 2024 is MovableType from 2004, but like with modern features. And it exists in some weird way in Japan right now, and it costs a lot of money. But I just used WordPress and just sort of like sucked it up. It's, you know, it's really good. It's got so much development. Like its comment stuff is like miles ahead of everything. And, you know, and the posting stuff, I don't, you know, people, I mean, a third of the web is powered by WordPress, and people use it basically as a website CMS, really. You know, it's more page heavy, I think, most of the usage.
Despite starting life as I don't know, pretty bloggy.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it's totally just a little blog engine. Like, B2 is the original, and it's just the first PHP, MySQL, you know, blogging engine.
Yeah.
And then
you wrote that in one of your posts that you think you had a strong feeling that it has moved to pages and sites rather than the blog
and
thing.
And commerce.
Yeah.
You know, like Squarespace is like half a store now. You know, like here's your Stripe setup and here's your store inventory. And WordPress bought WooCommerce, and like that's just like it's just commerce. And that makes sense if you're selling a pair of socks or novelty tie. But when you're just like, I just want something that blogs well, like that, the world has obviously shifted in 20 years. But like, yeah, I just sort of sat down for the last few weeks. I've been like, man, what does a better blog system look like? And I went to Ghost, and it's like, I remember when Ghost came out, it was just like someone wrote WordPress in like Node or something 10 years ago. But now it's like a whole thing, and it's nice. And it's pretty good, although they just added comments in last year or something. So it's like 2002 levels of comment control. But every single CMS and blogging sort of adjacent thing has its own, you know, opinion about things. So Ghost is trying to be Substack and blogging together. It's trying to like, which is great. I'm like, fine. I've never really had like a email newsletter list, but if people like that better than RSS reader, that's fine too. So, Ghost does things pretty well. It's basically like a Medium clone when you look inside with like the UI and everything and how it handles things. And it's just like, it's nice. I find it nice to write in, nice writing environment, easy tools. But it's like, it's so, when you log in your dashboard, it's all about how many subscribers you have, how many your emails went out, how many emails were opened. Cause that's what they have data on.
Big product choices.
Yeah. Sure. And I'm like, I don't really care about this stuff. Like, why is this the entire dashboard? And then like, you know, there's no refers. That's the old thing I used to just be obsessed with, is like, where did people come from? How did they find my stuff? There's barely any of that. But yeah, so I was just sitting there and I wrote up this long post of like, If you could break down every part of a CMS, you know, and redo it for today, what would it look like? The funny part is, and it's really exhaustive and everyone should go check it out. And it's just, you know, how would you want to store it? One of the basic tenets is like, you know, we write words and can go anywhere. Why do they only go to one place in every system? If I have a really good editor, I mean, I used to write things in Medium when it first came out because I liked it so much, like instead of Google Docs, and then I would like copy stuff over for work. But like, yeah, like I wish I could just write into some web app and then send it to LinkedIn, send it to Mastodon, you know, send it to my blog. I don't want everything on my blog. I want to send things to 7 different places optionally. And like, nobody supports that. And it's like, we all have these open APIs. There's a lot to unpack
in all this, but that would be a good entry point here is that, so if we're thinking of a fantasy CMS, that's your blog post is a blueprint of my dream blogging CMS. And there's lots of stuff in there, but that is a particularly cool and interesting idea, I think, that I hadn't seen before, which is this, it has, indie web people will tell you that is how you should do it. You should have a website and then it syndicates elsewhere. And it already does that to some degree. What's that?
Posse?
Publish once, syndicate something.
Everywhere? Yeah, everywhere.
Which is nice because it already does that to some degree because, you know, it publishes to the web and it publishes to RSS. And then you wire up more stuff. It's not, at one time, it wasn't particularly rare to have like it auto tweets a blog post. Mm-hmm. Now that got all banged up. So that's a little more rare, but it's not totally uncommon. You know, Microblog does a decent job of it. I'd be like, where do you want this to go? I want it to go to my Mastodon. I want it to go to LinkedIn, as you put it. And you can kind of pick between them. It's a big mess right now, in my opinion, of what APIs are good in allowing this type of thing and which ones aren't. But that would be nice. And it's almost weird that it's not CMSs don't take it more seriously. Why is it? I think that would be fascinating to write up a little something, click only the LinkedIn button, hit the button, and it only goes to LinkedIn. But yet does kind of exist on your website too. What a great idea. That would be awesome.
Yeah. And part of it, like, I don't even like LinkedIn. I mean, like, I just use it because I have to. It's like internet plumbing now. But like, you know, friends have surprised me by saying, oh, you know, I squirted out this half-assed blog post, you know, over on LinkedIn, and it's like it was insane, the engagement. You know, like 200 people came out of the woodwork to tell me, you know, these are good ideas. And like, yeah, I've had friends that show me that like Mastodon, Twitter, and like LinkedIn's 10x higher the way it's dumping into people's inboxes.
You know, Erica Hall from she's like, LinkedIn is unbelievable for that thing. She's like, just go find a quote and post it and people will be like, amazing.
I think because LinkedIn's so boring and it's like they're trying to turn it into a social network and everyone's just like, I got a new job. I lost my job. I got a new job. Like, you know, my feed is pretty boring. And so when someone says something opinionated, you're like, oh, that's a smart person saying something pretty cool. And like, it's in a desert of, you know, boring stuff.
Mm, I like this idea that people are there for the job drama. Like you're there for the, like seeing people's lives crumble, you know, in real time. And then you're like, buy my socks, you know, buy my product in the middle of it.
Like, I'm so bored. I'm going to just do it.
Yeah. So the other thing I was like, I feel like there's been stagnation, no innovation. I think there's no money in blogging, but like, you know, if you're going to do like a share panel or something to, you know, I just finished a blog post, send it to my Mastodon account, which isn't in any CMS right now, but let's say there was one, it would just do it, right? It would cut it off and put a URL and do like a social graph, you know, preview, but like, it should be smart. Like, is this less than 500 characters? Could this all fit as a new toot? Or like, is it 750 and should it be a, you know, should there be a quote and then, you know, a link to it? Like, it's like, this is just regex. You could be doing this. This could be all automated. Like sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, I looked at like, you know, when I imported my blog, I have 25 years of archives. The first 10 years are just tweets. Like, they're 2 sentences. Once a month, I would write.
Really? You're naturally blogging a very short
like,
form?
Yeah, look at Kotke from 2002. It's like, one sentence, link, one sentence, that's it.
Really?
It fits in a tweet. Because we didn't have Twitter. We didn't have it short form anything. People hated it, you know.
Were they titled or untitled? I find that
this is Chris's new obsession.
Most things are untitled until like 2005-ish, like when RSS like forced a title. I think I remember adding it to Metafilter. Okay. And people are mad.
Yeah, I am. I do, because I think if me personally, it just frees my mind up if I don't have to think of a title. And somehow WordPress mercifully doesn't force it.
Oh,
and
does it?
The RSS spec does not either. I mean, it does in that it's annoying that you go to your dashboard and you see a bunch of the untitled, blanks. untitled, you know. But other than that, no, it happily lets you publish it and goes to RSS normally and such. What RSS readers do with it is a bit up in the air.
That's probably a mess. Yeah, and the flip side of like a perfect blogging CMS is, and like people pointed this out to me in replies on these things I wrote, was that like, I mean, we're like reopening the wound of like make the perfect WYSIWYG web editor, which like hasn't been perfected in 20 years.
No,
like everything's okay and pretty good.
I'm curious about Ghost, because I haven't used it like you have.
It just looks like Medium. It's like, it's clean. It's like, it's a really good clean
slate. But as you author, does it look like as you publish too? Or that depends on the theme, I guess.
It's not like 100% WYSIWYG. And that drives me crazy because I'm using like sans serif fonts on my public site. And I'll catch typos differently. And it's serif on the back end.
Oh no. Is it Uncanny Valley weird?
Like another popular comment I got back to was, I was like writing this like universal perfect blog and how it could be a service for the entire world. And friends like, just make it for you. Just make opinionated software. And you should just be able to like edit in line, which is like kind of Medium is great at. You know, if I spot a typo, I want minimum amount of effort and steps to clean that up. And then Ghost, it's like, go back to the editor or into the post. And like,
in a perfect world, you're looking at your own blog post, you could edit it right there?
Yeah, just type, like, you know who I am. Like, I have the cookies of the admin. Like, let me do it.
Right.
I mean, these aren't new. These ideas were around in like, we had versions of Blogger at blogger.com in 2000, 2001. That were like inline editable in only IE4 or something back then. But like, that's the best. Just take all the friction, like sand off all the rough edges of everything and make it easier for writers to just do what they do.
There's a funny part in your post about being mad at WordPress, because all of a sudden one day there was like big black bars on either side of the thing, and then they became gray bars or something, and you're like, I hate this so much, I'm literally leaving because of gray bars. Well, I thought that was me.
I went to WordPress forums and go, is it just me, am I running some ad blocker or something, what is wrong?
No, and the thing is, I know why that was happening to you. I probably should have said, but it's there's the WordPress, you know, in their evolution towards site editing and such, made it a lot easier to apply as much CSS as you want to, not only to the theme, but to the stupid editor as well. But a lot of themes do it really half-assedly. You know, like the serif versus sans serif, like you were mentioning. It'll match the font, for example, so it looks closer while you're authoring to what's published. And not all themes do that, but I just know that whatever theme you had active was applying some little extra BS to that thing, and they just didn't do a very good job of it.
The funny part is, like, WordPress, when you're looking at your own WordPress blog, I see an edit link, you know, at the tail end of things. And a lot of times I see a typo, I hit edit, fix it.
Yep.
Ghost doesn't do that at all, which is just like, what year is it? And then when you ask Ghost people, hey, what's up? They go, you put /edit on your URL and it pops you right in the editor on that post. And I'm like, why not make a button if I have a cookie of a login? Like, there's just lots of little things that, like, you know, I wish were easier.
Yeah, even WordPress does it for individual comments. If you're logged in, you can edit, which I always kind of liked that.
Yeah, so, like, and then comments and Ghost, I think, have only been there for a year or two. I think they punted to Discuss, which I didn't feel like diving into, but... like, I liked it. WordPress comments are open
even
for, like,
around anymore. You never see Discuss anymore.
I think it still exists. How do they get people? Like, somebody's paying for it.
I think they did such a bad job for so long.
Kind of. Like, it worked but they committed the sin of, like, it was like megabytes of JavaScript that loaded.
Oh, God. You know? Yeah. So, like, WordPress, you can set it to whatever. I make a post, it'll accept comments for 2 weeks. That's like a nice sane
setting. 2 weeks.
Yeah. And then never again. And like, I mean, I imported all my ghost thing. It wiped out all the comments from WordPress, which is also great.
You lost comments on
everything. 25 years. Who cares? Whatever. Burn it all down. And then, but I got a comment on like a 2-year-old blog post the other day. I was like, what?
Oops.
Oh, man. Oops. Like, yeah. I have to police this for the rest of my life. Like, oh my gosh.
That auto expiration. Would that be something in your dream CMS? Just like kind of I don't know, custom tailored comment rules.
Or just come up with good defaults. Like 1 week, 2 weeks is totally sane. Like, this is what I always like with every community I sort of had to help out with. Like, I remember I interviewed at Etsy once and I was like telling them, Etsy used to famously have this like PHP bulletin board that they like kept going for way too long. And the sellers would just complain just all day. And I'm like, you're like, whatever, your bulletin board software product you just pulled off the shelf. Anytime there's a new comment, it pops it to the top. And I'm like, these things need to decay. Like, arguments need to end. Like, someone could complain about something 2 years old and it would just... And then new sellers would be like, what? That's the new policy? It's like, no, that was a 2-year-old policy we already argued through. So, like, things need to naturally decay. You know, when you say something on a social network, you know, I expect to get comments for a day or two. And, like, on a blog...
It was spam-related for me. That the older it is, the more likely the
long tail of it. Yeah, especially if it's a popular post. Good Lord. But... I mean, how do you want people to interact with your content? And it's like, I don't know, talk to me about it for a week or two, then, you know, it's fine. Yeah.
Well, I like that idea of decay. I do, in the fantasy CMS realm, you know, I've always wanted like a page that turns sepia tones as it gets older and like just, you know, tea stains and just like crumbles and
burns the edges.
Just gets worse and worse over time. That would be the dream, but or even just something like more like it could be AI driven, but just like, hey, I wrote this in 2007. I was very unhappy and I was drinking at 2 p.m. at this point. So enjoy it. You know,
there's a professional version of that too. Like, just because I have to think about it semi professionally for our CodePen blog, which is also 10 years plus old, you know, that old post, I just put a big yellow bar with the like, you know, with the black 45 degree, you know, warning, this blog post is old. Oh, because there's probably screenshots from ancient UI in it and crap like that. So yeah, decay is one thing, but also just like cutting it off. Be like, is blog post older than 3 years? You know, I don't want to delete it, but I want you to know that it's freaking old.
I think it's like the infection of SEO junk into writing tools, which is like we got rid of dates in the URL. I just like that, right? Like, you see someone going, you should go to Lake Havasu. I don't know. I'm just picturing a place.
Yeah.
And you see, like, /2004/12/5. And you go, oh, okay, yeah. It used to be really good when the lake was filled with water or whatever. Like, and I hate that everything's just, like, you know, blog.com/title of my post.
Oh, you're, like, pro dates and URLs and wish
Yeah, and pro dates everywhere. Put it near the top. Put it underneath the title. Like, I want... Like, I'm used to journalism. I'm used to looking for that. Like, that's a that's a key piece of metadata.
When you can't find it, they're trying to pull one over somehow.
I mean, that's the whole, I think all the advice in the SEO world is like, erase all dates. Everything is timeless. Change your title to 2024 every year. Just change it to 25, 26. Like, these are the best blenders that you've reviewed 10 years ago, but who cares? Just put 2025 on it.
The Verge just had a good article on that, or like a criticism almost. They're like, the best printer is still the Brother printer. It hasn't changed. So any article you read that's like best printer of 2024, it's not. It's just the Brother. Like,
and it's, the funniest part is not a Brother. It's just the Brother that's like $90 that year. Just go get it. It sucks.
Whatever's on sale at Best Buy, just grab it.
Yeah. I'm on my second or third Brother sitting on the floor next to me. And it's just whatever was $100 2 years ago.
Yeah. And then they filled in the bottom of the post with a bunch of AI generated garbage. And that was just chef's kiss. Very.
Like if you search Amazon for small cables and stuff, that it was just exactly that. Just like 64 unnecessary words after whatever you're looking for.
Yeah.
So there's an advent when you're I feel like, I wonder if Ghost has this. So you're writing a blog post. There's different ways to approach it. For one thing, if it's a super nerdy CMS, you could just be like, it's forcibly markdown. Like there's no formatting. If you want a header, you got to put two little number signs before it or whatever.
That's how Ghost launched. And I'm, I'm a weird old web person. I'm so old. I think in HTML, I hate markdown. I feel like it's like forces me to think like a robot, and I'd rather just think in raw HTML. Like, I don't know why half my friends love markdown. I can't stand it.
If you had to write a blog post, you'd happily write li tags around your list items or whatever, or not quite.
I mean, at least I know and I have control. No, I mean, I use WYSIWYG elements to make it faster.
Yeah.
And I know all those special keystrokes to do it. But I mean, like, I mean, the thing that kills me is like, try to insert an image with a link to it in Markdown from memory. Like, that's crazy. It's so hard. And like,
to actually author Markdown is not ideal.
You
gotta
put the pipe before the quote. Like, so I know how to like put a wrap an AH ref around an image tag.
So you're against the Ngruberification of the internet. And
I mean, if it helps you, great. I'm like, we should make our computer tools more human, like the way we writers want to be. We shouldn't make writers into robots that talk to computers. Even though, whatever, 1995, I learned all the HTML, so I am thinking like a robot.
The reason it's at one end of the spectrum is because you can't do weird formatting. It's not like Microsoft Word. You can't place things away. So that was kind of like, it appeals to developers because you're like, no author can screw this up. It is just
It acts as a filter and an HTML escaper and all that
stuff.
And then
way on the other side is WYSIWYG, which it was trying to literally produce, you know, edit what you see. That's the whole point of the acronym. And then I feel like somehow we've landed in the middle, which is this, I think of it as just block editing. It's kind of the term. That's how WordPress's editor works. But I think maybe is how Ghost is too, where it's kind of in between. It's like, yes, you're seeing little list bullets. But it's not how it's going to look on the site. It's this version in between. Like if I drop a YouTube video in there, I'm like seeing the YouTube video, but it's different. I don't know. Or like, this is a block of code.
Yeah. You still have to preview it to see how it's actually going to appear and resized. Right. And
but maybe that's the right answer. That middle ground. I don't know.
This is the, like, I feel like we got to 90% of perfect WYSIWYG, and then we're never going to make that last 10%. It's just impossible. We spent 20 years on it.
There's so many, though. Like, what? So if we're talking about dream experiences at the authoring level, like, what else do you want there? Do you have any other things that, like, as I'm writing, what's in my fantasy CMS, what do I get?
I mean, in a fantasy CMS, it has to, I mean, this is the impossible list of requirements. Is it has to be like amazing and perfect for me in every way I write, but then also when I have to write in groups, it has to be a completely different tool set. Like, because like using WordPress with multiple people is a nightmare, and I did it Slack with like 4 or 5 writers. We would actually have to like CB radio call and respond for like, hey, who's editing that one? I was gonna go fix it. Okay, you out. You're out now. Wait, did you close your browser? Okay, now I can go in and then give you a warning banners of like, Trina is currently editing this and we're not gonna save it.
Yeah, would you like to take over?
Like, you have to DM her and go, I'm sorry, I have to do this, but it's just one thing and they're yelling at me. So the author environment, I mean, I just want it as easy and clean as possible. And, you need like draft status. You need
drafts.
Like,
yep.
You need previews of drafts. I don't think Ghost does that. And WordPress does, where it'll give you a special URL you can share with someone, like an editor. Like, that's another thing that's like another level deep. Being able to like, I mean, some, I think maybe Ghost does it, but I saw when I was going through like all the options that some blog systems allow multi-author at once, like Google Docs style, Sabitha edit, you know, like 5 cursors, they're all going at once and it's all saving magically to the cloud. That has to be
history too. I would think if the most,
history and rollback. I don't even think Ghost has that. But I remember WordPress has shown me I have 21 edits, you know, and I can go back to any of them. I mean, it's a lot and there's no money in it. So like, this is why it's fun to fantasize, because it's never going to happen.
Yeah, because some of it is like the experience of just writing has to be really kind of nice, but then it's how it's integrated into the overall system too. Like a tiny thing is I was annoyed at WordPress, you can't have multiple authors. So if it just happens to be a post that's written by two people, it's like, well, too bad, you know?
Yeah, we used to have to like write text in Slack blog posts that were like, you know, the attribution line was hard coded in the blog post, so mm-hmm. we could have two or three authors. You know, Medium supported multiple authors that were all on their own accounts, and
well, that's good.
That's also sometimes problematic. Like everyone have to make an account to get tagged into it, and they have to prove it. They also had edit control after they left the company, which drove like some of the managers crazy. So they would remove authors after just to have, because you could go in and vandalize anything right. forever. I mean, I looked at a zillion little GitHub like blog CMSs, and you know, it's just one person doing exactly what they need for their own stuff. And I'm, you know, that's probably the road I need to go down because there's like, some things that annoy me so much that I wish were a certain way.
There's always somebody who's like, my CMS does this, just CD, make, install, you know, and
right. You drop a markdown in the certain named folder after you PayPal me $5 to set up the API. Like, yeah, some of those are crazy. I mean, WordPress is great and it's terrible. I feel bad, like, you know, making, like, you know, pointing out, you know, things I don't like in an open source app because everyone says you can fix it yourself.
It's been a couple of months on Ghost, right? So how you consider it an improvement still?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, it's basically like your own Medium, which is like you're giving up some, you know, things, like you only embed certain things. The other day I was trying to put an Instagram reel I want to be playable in my blog post. I'm like, how does that happen? And like, none of the embeds are like Instagram. You paste the URL and it doesn't do anything. It usually wants to auto, you know, expand.
Yeah.
URLs you drop. And I had to find out, oh, you get the embed code and then you go into a special like advanced embed and you can drop in like an iframe and all the other garbage. And it would actually display right. But when I Google searched it, the first result was like someone's weird tool for like prepping embeds like before they supported embedding raw HTML or something. And like the actual answer was nowhere on the first page of results of Google, which was like, it's already built in a Ghost. You just go into this, you know, find the right embed and copy the right code and drop it.
Images are a big one for me. I think you even mentioned in one of your posts that like the, you know, you had to run some CLI tool or something to convert stuff over, and it ran really quickly for the old stuff and really slow for the new stuff because eventually phone images got to be, you know, multi-gigabyte.
Yeah, 25 years of blog posts, and there's lots of images and galleries and stuff. And I ran it on the last 2 years, and it was like 2 gig. And I was like, Jesus, okay, wow, what's this 18 more years going to be? And I run it, it's like 400 megabytes. I'm like, okay, that can't be right. There was like 3,000 blog posts. But yeah, it was phone images, like raw phone images are like 12 megabytes. And
so that's what says to me is if you are blogging, you're happy to just like open the Photos app or whatever and just drag one on there, which I think is how it should work because that's a normal thing. But, you know, because it's multi megabytes big, that is unacceptable for how it's actually displayed on the website.
Yeah.
Thankfully, both WordPress and presumably, I'm sure it is, this would be like one of the first things you did in a CMS was make it so it automatically resizes images and does whatever HTML magic it needs to do to display them in a nice way.
An appropriate size. Yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't like the abstractions. I don't like the abstractions of WordPress. I understand why they did it. The media library is kind of a nightmare because it's a whole nother like sub app inside of it when you just want to add like an image. But when I worked at Slack with 5 writers, we had artists, we had freelancers. Like we literally had a pipeline of like 18 images have to be named in a certain way and go with a certain post. And like the artist did half of these illustrations, half of these are photos. Some of these are screenshots. They also have like a naming convention. Like things are pretty insane at the edges.
That sounds very clean.
The other funny thing is, you know, WordPress can be historically has been kind of a security nightmare problem. So like we ran it headless at Slack and that was new to me in like 2017 that like, it just was on a secret server and you wrote to it and it spit out JSON. And then we had a whole nother like builder that made flat files and put them on our site because, you know, all the security guys were so freaked out about having a WordPress endpoint anywhere on the site.
So they just didn't. They're like,
they just hide it. Yeah, it was just basically sitting on a box somewhere was the actual WordPress that everyone used. But, and I didn't know this is the whole thing, like web development shops. Don't hate
it. Kind of like it, actually.
Yeah, sometime. It's kind of like just the CMSs. It's just like a CMS pile of...
As long as you have the people to deal with it, because it sounded like there was an IT person or whatever. But there are, to me, that I don't know if we have time to get into all that, but the authoring of the ultimate theme, right? So at Slack, you had like, you know, strong design systems and whole design, doing all that stuff. There's a... When you make a WordPress theme, usually it's just like you're working in PHP and you're doing all that stuff. There's another way to work, and it's if I had the data, which or if I just hit the API for WordPress, I can build in a totally different way. I can build in kind of a more, what I might think of as a more modern way, which is, you know, hit endpoint for data and then build however I want to, be it React or something. Not that that's like an amazing choice necessarily, but I can do it if I want to do it. Kind of cool. So in my dream CMS, there, you know, it would definitely would have an API of some kind, like in the, most of them do, but it would just be great. It would be a first class citizen. It might be the recommended way that you build a theme is to build from the API itself.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I describe something that's like blogger.com or something like a perfect WYSIWYG editor you type stuff into. Your output is completely up to you. And maybe it could be flat files, you know, pull templates from other places. Like, I would pay for a service that was just my content database, kind of, that was incredibly flexible and let me, you know, create output any way I wanted. But I mean, that's incredibly niche. Like, we're the
weirdos. It's kind of what Contentful is, right? It's like
A
CMS that has no other output other than data.
It is funny. I was like looking through your old show titles and I was just like remembering, like, oh man. Web development is such a young person's sport now. Like, there's so many abstractions. It's just like, you know, first, I think I kind of got off the daily coding train around Bootstraps coming out like 10 years ago with Twitter. And then it's like, oh my God, React. And then, I mean, Node.js was new when I sort of quit daily coding, but like TypeScript has to be on top of, like, CSS isn't just CSS anymore. There's like there's all these CSS subsystems and everything's like abstracted and everything's turning into like C++ kind of like at every level. It's crazy.
You'd be happy to know that there's plenty of discourse around, is this too goddamn much?
I was working on onboarding docs at Slack for like new employees, and you know, the new dev environment spin up is like a whole day. And it's like tooling that, you know, internal tools team members had to make to try and make it as easy as possible. It's still like hours of like, here's what we do with your laptop, here's where you go every day, here's where you get the latest code, here's how you have to configure 1,200 things. Yeah. And I just remember being like, wow, that is, yeah. And then when you go to GitHub to like make a little blog, you know, it's like step 12, you know, prepare your environments and run homebrew and, you know, do your builds. Yeah.
A lot.
Things, I mean, you guys have been in it for so long that, like, I'm sure day to day, I remember as stuff comes out, it's not that hard to keep track of. As the years go on, like when you get away from it, holy cow.
It's interesting. We have to know all these brand names, all these frameworks, all these things, just keep them in our head and keep track of them and make sure they're not taking our jobs and whatever. And it's a lot of mental overhead just to exist, you know?
I think everyone on technical teams and engineering managers at Slack, all they do is argue against like frameworks every day. Like, we picked a framework 2 years ago. We think it's still good.
Yeah.
You know, well, what about that? Like, you know, all the new interns would come in with a new framework they're used to. But like, eventually it's a container ship making a turn. Eventually, you know, everything's in React, has to be rewritten. Everything got rewritten into faster stuff.
That's just going to happen again, too.
You know? Right. Yeah, you're just like, what would we call it? We were building the plane as we were flying it. That's what we always said internally at Slack.
Which is not how plane maintenance works. But
no, well, we see the results. I think also we were in San Francisco, and it's just like San Francisco Bridge. You know, when you're done painting the end of it, you start at the other end.
You start at the other end,
Like every... Yeah, there was a code shift happening all the... It was just like California freeway construction. It just never ends. You're always filling potholes. You're always adding a new on-ramp. Like, the moment something was completed, we were already 25% done with a new conversion to another framework and stuff.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, kind of maybe you've seen this too, kind of going through the arc of the web, you know, you'd write like a HTML document, and then you're like, well, maybe Perl can intercept some stuff and process it. And then PHP comes out and you're like, I'll just use this PHP.
It looks kind of like HTML.
It'll just be in there. Write the HTML. And we are so far from that point in history.
Unless you use WordPress, and then you're still there, baby.
Still there.
I just remember viewing source was the best teacher way back when, and now everything's so abstracted. Inspect element and learning how to navigate a tree is something like a kindergartner needs to know now.
Yeah.
Like it's wild to me how complex, when you're ever in a place where you're like, why can't I grab this image? What the hell? Like, I just need this like news photograph from Getty to illustrate this email or something, and you right click it and it's not right clickable. And then you're inspecting element and it's like divs and divs and divs and divs and divs.
Just deleting divs until you can click on
it. I will never back down from that fight. I am going to get your thing. I will sniff the network traffic if I need to.
Right. There's like a 70s hacker culture. I'm like, it's on my computer. It is a digital copy. Like, how dare, like, what do you think you're doing here? Like,
you understand. Have already given it to me. So I'm just going to take it. I'm going to just put it in a more permanent place on my file system.
I remember in 2003 downloading a Microsoft video player to get some Coca-Cola streaming feed of like a Ted Leo track so I could rip it with like, audio tools and release it as MP3 on my blog because everyone just wants to hear the song. They don't want to like sign up for Coca-Cola points to see a special concert, to see the song that ends with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we talked a bunch about blogging. Is it that's a kind of CMS in a way. And what's kind of cool is that you can grab one off the shelf and it will have its opinions about like what is good for blogging. But blogging tends to have the same kind of structure in a way. It has titles and content and maybe categories and tags both if you're WordPress for some reason and stuff like that. So the needs from blogger to blogger might be a little different, but probably not terribly different. Whereas when you say the word CMS, you're kind of speaking much more broadly and generally and that some CMSs, not really WordPress or Ghost, at least in my opinion, they can be made to be CMS-like, but kind of aren't by default, I guess is my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know. I would extend the metaphor all the way to, like with so much code automation today, I think of a CMS as the answer to every question because like you're at work and someone's like, my kids selling Girl Scout cookies. I need to make like an order form for everybody. Like, hey, let's all help my daughter's troop, mm-hmm. And it's like, well, you could paste in the Slack, I want 2 boxes, but that's terrible for you. You need to read those some other day and then do the orders. Like, I love Zapier and, Google Forms. This is amazing. Like, you can make minor, you can make a sheet that's like, pick these drop downs, what cookies are available. And this is all going to go into a spreadsheet that she's going to make the orders with at the end. And like, we can send out reminders of when you should hit it. Like, I'm amazed what you can do with like a Google form that dumps into a Google sheet, but gives people a web front end. I was thinking the other day, like Ghost doesn't have the concept of a contact page because they don't want to even touch the spam problem. And I was just like,
really?
Yeah, and if you go on the docs, it's like, go sign up with Typeform or something and like make a page that emails you. And I was like, I could just make a Google form that kind of looks like my site.
You sure could.
It would just send it to Gmail from, I could use Zapier if I need to or just do it all on Google. There are a lot of cool automation tools that are like low code or no code. And like, I think that opens up the world to, you don't need to know SQL queries anymore. and you can get a lot of the stuff done you want.
It'd be fun to live in that. Where I mean, like, just, I don't know. I look forward to it. It's wild. I don't think about code anymore. I will not code anything.
But yeah. Like, we did a no-code tool for Slack. It's called Workflow Builder. And it's like all these decisions, and you're taking input and you're doing stuff. I loved it. Like, the first time I saw Medium, I loved it because it was like, it cut out like 50% of the features of blog stuff. And you just, it was just like, to say you're a designer, you know, you're going to push the limits of the box that Medium keeps you in. It was kind of fun, like playing with the edges of what's possible. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the no code stuff, like, you can go pretty far. Like, I've heard friends talk, like, admit that, you know, pretty popular projects are just an Airtable. Like, you have no idea. Like,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Commonly talked about in the VC or startup space. Like, you're dumb to go too far down the code train with your little idea. Like, it should be an Airtable for the first year. Yeah. to prove that there's customers there and all that stuff is a pretty common refrain.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's the magical, you know, I don't think it's one size fits all, and I don't think it's the magical. Yeah, and it is kind of, yeah. Yeah, I've heard it talked about in a bad way like that. But like, on the other hand, like, oh my God, I don't have to spend a whole Saturday making a coding app for this house automation thing anymore. It's just like, click here, click here, click here, make that box happen. Like, and it kind of works.
Yeah. I guess AI is going to change some of that too. Knowing that a human can find those things and click the right buttons to wire up, you know, what is, you know, in the end, kind of a sophisticated app, especially if it's integrating multiple apps. I hate to admit that there's potential there.
Yeah, I think we're in a weird bubble of AI where I think, we're trying to attach it to everything. And I think we're all going to come to our senses in a few months and realize like about 10% of the ideas are good. Also, everyone's finding out it's expensive. I have a friend who works on a very popular desktop app, and he hates his job because his managers every day are like, we need to add AI. Our competitors have AI. Like, what is it going to do? It's a creative app. And then he finds out it's like a penny per time you press AI
token
thing.
Or whatever. Yeah.
It costs the company about a penny anytime anyone types anything in any box. And he was just like, we're going to, I mean, one user could cost $50 a day. Like, this is insane. Like, what we're paying in compute charges and stuff. And the managers are
especially for the ones that are, as you type, not just type something and hit return, but all the times you kind of pause typing along the way. Oh, my God.
Right. It's trying to do things, trying to suggest things. I mean, it's just Clippy on steroids, I guess. But, I didn't hate Clippy back in the day when it was new. I thought it was, like, sometimes useful.
Yeah. Yeah. Help me, please.
My, like, dream CMS actually does have some AI features. Could I entertain these ideas?
All ears.
And you can shoot them down. One would be, like, auto-tagging. I'm terrible at tagging. Please just figure out what I was talking about and then, like, give me, like, this ability to roll up things into, you know, and even that might be a separate feature, like a whole, just roll up common articles into a little zine or something like that, you know. That would be cool. And then the big one though I want is AI fact checking. Just like, hey, am I even talking sense? Like, did I just make
how the roles have turned? Instead of us fact checking the AI, you want AI to fact check you?
A regex that can go query Wikipedia like on some date you put down. Is that correct? Did that happen in Plymouth, Massachusetts?
Abraham Lincoln was tall. Was he really though? I don't know. Like 1850s tall or like actual tall, you know?
Right, the turns out is Napoleon was average height. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, we make fun of him all the time. And it's just like, no, the average man in France at that time was like 5'6". And he
was
like,
pretty good,
not a big,
but AI, because so many people have written about how short he is, probably even jokingly, probably would be happy to tell you how short
I guess that's what like Twitter verification, you know, when you see something outrageous on Twitter and readers have added some context.
Well, and I would love that for my blog. Like readers, like, you know, people on Mastodon have added some context that Dave doesn't know what he's talking about. Or like, and Hacker News also thinks he's a big dum-dum.
Right, yeah. He's not drinking enough.
What the author fails to understand is
he's not intermittent fasting correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Facebook and Instagram do like alt text like junk, like it's a terrible, but it's okay. Like dumb AI alt text.
They do, really? Like your every Instagram you post has some bad alt text on it?
Yeah, because you can see it load sometime when you're on a slowed connection. You'll see like flower with girl next to it, you know, like load before the image. And it turns out, they're AI. They've been doing this for years, like auto describing what's in the content of every photo to, I think, help their moderators and stuff. But like when I go to post on Mastodon, I know alt text is super important and I always spend the time to write some. But like if you just did the robot version and I could embellish it correctly and, you know, punch it up, that would take out like a whole bunch of work. Like I love auto tagging. Like, we need a librarian in a box. I guess that's what the AI we're going for is like, I need a little taxonomy elf that like says, oh, this is kind of about the internet. It's kind of like that thing you wrote 2 weeks ago. These should all be tagged internet. And then, you should be able to roll up all internet related posts and stuff. I want visual indicators and nice alt text. So like my site is fulfilling, you know, the needs of blind users or visually impaired users, but like also just like pre-do a bunch of dumb work for me that I can like make better. Robot girl standing next to flower isn't good enough, but I know like I can just put my daughter next to a tulip, you know, and like cut down some of that work. I mean, that's the way AI I think can successfully be used as like a person's helper. And I think like the hype cycle right now is like, it's going to do everything. It's going to overthink everything. It's going to think for us, like, you know, it's going to eliminate jobs, et cetera. When really it should just be a really helpful assistant.
I wish there was a way that if it happened to notice something particularly unusual, then it would chime in. I think of like the ship computers and AI that they're not talking to you all the time. They're telling you when something important happens, or like that's what I'm imagining a useful, like if the little stupid AI pin that everybody hates was looking at the world around you all the time. I always think of this one, like let's say like a black squirrel went by but it knows you live in Oregon or whatever, and you're like, whoa, that's really rare. It would only say something if it's noticed that it was unusual. It wouldn't say a squirrel every time. It would say squirrel if it's interesting. Or I'm writing a blog post and it noticed that my first paragraph was like, bro, that's really sad. Are you sure you want to, you know, like it doesn't chime up all the time.
Tag just this downer.
Yes.
As you're typing, it's just like depression, PTSD.
Whoa, hold on, blog engine. Our auto writes a content warning that you're super bummed. That's all humans do. That's all I found. You know, I stared at human behavior on MetaFilter for 15 years straight, like 24 hours a day. All it is pattern recognition. I recognize patterns of like a new user signs up, uses a web link. They're probably a spammer. That's just a pattern recognition. The other day, I moved to a place. We have chickens. Like I moved to some acreage. We have 6 chickens and one chicken died one day. And I was like, I have 24-hour video in 2 rooms of the chicken coop, like where they sleep and like where they play all day. And I was like, this was 3-4 years ago. I was like, why didn't AI just say, why didn't the black chicken go outside for 2 weeks? Because I was going, scrubbing through video. I have like a home NAS that's like can store 2 or 3 weeks of video. And I'm just scrubbing through it going like, when did the chicken start to get super sick? Like we didn't notice it feeding the chickens every day that one of the chickens was missing. Yeah. And I was like, why didn't friggin' it like home automation AI figure out, hey, you have 6 of these objects. Only 5 of them have been coming out every day. And like we would have caught it a little earlier. And I was like, yeah, just pattern recognition. Find me the unusual things. Yeah. Point out the unusual to me.
It's almost like a carbon monoxide detector or something, right? Like that's like, I just want you to buzz if something's off.
Something's or unusual.
Like, right. Even if I log into Twitter, just like me, like you don't want to be here. Get the out vibes of this room. Are off. Yeah. Or even as I'm writing, it's like, yo, man, this is not on brand for you. That would be great. You know?
That's why I want my medical images compared to every other medical image that's ever been taken ever. You know?
Yeah.
There are, I do have friends that are playing with AI and they've told me like amazing stories of like spending a Saturday playing with some LLM and like a friend's like, I built a book recommendation engine and I sped it like 10 books I like these weird sci-fi things. And then I had it spit out similar books and it's given me a list of 20 books. I've never heard of the authors, never heard of the books, and they're all great. And I went, why isn't that on Goodreads 2 years ago? Like, what the hell is wrong? And I go, what was your corpus?
Yeah, you did that on the weekend?
Yeah. And I was like, what is your corpus? And he's like, every book ever written is like you can download as a zip. Like, I was like, okay. Like, wow, we are at that stage. Wow.
That's funny. Yeah. I didn't think to just download every book ever written and, you know.
Yeah, every article ever published on New York Times. I was trying to make a joke the other day, and I can't. AI is, like, unfortunately up against copyright. I wanted, like, New York Times headlines that are 10 syllables long, and the last word rhymes with blank to fill in the blank for a joke, and I could not. I mean, I've tried. I think Copilot could give me 10-syllable New York Times articles. ChatGPT doesn't touch it because they're like, don't want to get yelled at. But York, yeah,
lawsuit pending.
Yeah. And I know people have written syllable counters and done the things, and you can go find these things and rip them in. It's possible. It would take me more than a Saturday, but yeah.
Well, this is all very cool. Just kind of one final question I have, like, you've been in the content biz for a long time and you're still in the content biz, but like, what do you think has changed and where do you think it's going? Do you have like a meta viewpoint on where or how content should or can function? Or
I think, like, we're in a weird spot in the history because Twitter is sort of imploding. So this is kind of like, I feel like this is early. A lot of people say it feels like 2004 again because, like, everyone's doing weird new stuff because we've been scattered to the winds. So, like, we were all blogging. I mean, that had some technical speed bumps to it to even blog. And then we reduced, you know, and people hated blogging at first because it wasn't giant 3,000 word essays. It was like little chunks. And then we switched it all the way to, like, you know, 140 characters. And everyone got really used to that. And like that, I stopped blogging because I was tweeting all the time. And so I think with Twitter going away as the central whatever town square, like, I don't know where to find, you know, I was thinking the other day of friends, you know, I haven't heard from in 2 years because we all stopped using Twitter. And it's like, I don't even know where he ended up. And it's, oh, he's deep in blue sky or something. So it's like, oh, well, I have to run 4 apps to keep track of 50 people I care about. So I think we're in this weird area where I think it feels like 2006, like early web 2.0-y stuff of like, we've got all this new capability, we got all these new tools, we're all over the place. Someone's going to start making aggregators and ways to pull those things in. And like my dream CMS that can go anywhere out is kind of not been built yet. And I think someone will do that someday. But I feel like the opposite is what's going to happen, like bringing stuff from all over to, like, we need something maybe beyond an RSS tool, which is like, or maybe RSS is the back end. But like, if a friend writes something good on Blue Sky or LinkedIn or Medium, you know, it'd be cool to have it all in a river of news. I guess I want friend feed from 2007 now. Jesus, I never even liked it back then. But like, yeah, I feel like we need better aggregation tools. I mean, yeah, with Twitter blowing up, it kind of sucks. And it's kind of like spun everything into chaos because there's no central point. That was like the central point where every comedian, every actor, every web developer could say, hey, I wrote a new blog post. You should go look at it, you know, and you definitely get 50 or 100 people to go look at it and give you feedback.
But why did we fail at saying, like, after everyone was pissed at Twitter, you'd think there was an opportunity to be like, let's all go to X. Failed.
There just weren't. Yeah, I feel like there was chaos for like a month, and then I love Mastodon, but man, it is so nerdy and hard to use, and like so many basic things are broken with it.
Oh, totally agreed. Except for that, I'm just happy to use it now because for web dev nerdery, that's where it went. So like, I'll suffer through any bad UX because that's where my bubble went. So sweet.
You know, I can't believe people are flocking the Threads. It's like, how many times has Facebook pulled the football away when you're about to kick it? Yeah. Like, how many times do we have to do this, people? Like, you know, in 2 months, Threads is going to do something silly. Like, you know it.
It's very Scooby-Doo. Wait a minute. This is just Mark Zuckerberg.
This is just Facebook wall posts with a new wrapper. Yeah, so I think we're in a weird spot of, like, you know, there's no central good place to find, like, lots of content or tools to help you find stuff or follow a bunch of people. Like,
yeah,
you know, no one, I mean, I guess Mastodon does, like, treating the social graph as like a totally yours and a totally portable thing. Like, here are the 50 people I care about in a, you know, XML-y kind of way that other systems can understand. Like, those are like basic wiring tools we still need to build and build tools around.
Yeah, it's a hard, it's tempting to be like, everybody should blog, but we're like, nobody's going to do that. It's just, that's not happening.
I mean, Blogspot was pretty easy to use back in the day, but still, yeah, it's not, yeah. I mean, you don't never want to get onto anything that feels like you're shouting into a void, right? Especially if you're putting your heart into it. So, yeah. Like, there has to be people there, and you have to have feedback of some sort and keep you going and make you happy as the writer. And like,
it does feel kind of good to have your own site, though, and be like, I agree, there should be something like that. Like, I want to go where the people are, but check it out. I can just push my website as soon as it shows up. I can push my crap.
But then I know only 8 nerds on the planet have RSS so wired up. Right. I went to lunch with someone the other day who saw something I wrote 2 hours earlier, and I'm like, I mean, yeah. I thought that was a 1 in 100 chance of that happening. Like, you kind of have to wait till it gets passed around networks and someone goes, this is actually good,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. God, not to pull us into something else because we probably hit the hour here, but that you mentioned that. I'm not even going to go there. You know what? We'll just let it just percolate in my mind.
Well, save it for the part 2. Yeah.
The After Dark show.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. For people who aren't following you and giving you money, how can they do that?
There's no way. I give away everything for free, so I'm silly that way. I'm at awholelotofnothing.org, and it's a complicated URL, so you should probably search my name or something. And then Mastodon, good luck. I don't know. I point people to Elk Zone because it looks better. It looks like Twitter. Yeah. I don't know why the default Mastodon looks hideous and like it was designed 10 years ago. Yeah, I don't know. I'm on social. I'm on Mastodon. I hate Instagram and barely use it. My blog is probably the way where to see me. And I'm working on a bunch of projects, but nothing right now that's give me money. So.
All right, great. We'll link all that up in the show notes. And thank you, dear listener, for downloading this in your podcatcher choice. Be sure to share our favorite app. That's how people find out about the show. And follow us on Mastodon. We're at front-end.social, which is part of the Mastodon naming problem. We're Shop Talk Show there. And then join us in the Discord, patreon.com/ShopTalkShow. Chris, you got anything else you'd like to say?
ShopTalkShow.com, the website with an RSS feed.
What do I do with RSS?